Hey everybody, welcome to episode 71 of Tuesdays with Perry. Thanks for joining me tonight. I'm going to get Perry on the line in just a second. So tonight we're going to be talking about Trump and Haley in South Carolina by the numbers. Not what the mainstream media is quoting, but what we're going to talk about, which is more like the actual numbers. And the Dems flipping out about Trump's resurgence. We're going to talk about Mitch McConnell, as him and Trump are talking about McConnell's possible endorsement of Trump. We're going to talk about Rona McDaniel leaving the RNC, I think around March 8th, she said she was going to be leaving. And we're going to talk about the New York Times story about the CIA in Ukraine for over a decade, decades long, a CIA operation going on in Ukraine, if people didn't know. So let's see if we can't get Perry on the line. Hey, Perry, welcome to the podcast tonight. It's episode 71, if you hadn't been keeping track. How are you, my brother?
Oh, Rudy, it's one of those days in Florida that you are not only envious, but terribly jealous of me for.
It was nice up here in the Northeast, actually. It was, I don't know, in the 50s, so 50s and sunny, so it was pretty nice. So I am envious, though. Would love to come down.
You should be.
Yeah, I would love to see you down there in Florida at some point. So we're going to get into the stories of the day, I guess. I think we're going to pass on the death of Jacob Rothschild, rest his soul. But we are going to talk about, I think we should talk a little bit about the murder in Georgia of Lake and Riley by an illegal immigrant, Jose Ibarra. We could talk about that a little bit. Want to talk about Trump and Haley by the numbers in South Carolina, because nobody in the mainstream media seems to be getting it right. And the Dems are flipping out about a Trump resurgence. They don't know what to do. They thought the legal cases would sink him, and it's only making him worse. He's actually getting a lot of publicity from the Fannie Willis debacle. So we could talk a little bit about Fannie Willis, and her phone records have come out. And I guess her boyfriend, who she hired for hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, was her boyfriend for some time before being hired. That's obviously an ethics violation. We're going to talk a little bit about Mitch McConnell. I guess they're negotiating on his endorsement of Trump. I don't know why that should even happen. And Rona McDaniel, the chair of the RNC, is leaving on the 8th of March. She is resigning. And also, New York Times had an article stating that the CIA has been in Ukraine building secret bases there for over a decade. So
what'd you say?
Right. Like, people didn't know that the Orange Revolution in Ukraine in 2017 was led by the CIA. I don't know what they were thinking.
Not only that, but who do you think gave the Ukrainians all this biomatter that we were so concerned about their labs being overtaken by Russians?
Right. Exactly. Well, it is a playing ground for the intelligence services there in Ukraine. And Russia's obviously concern is that they're going to set up listening posts on the Ukrainian frontier there, the border with Russia. That has been discussed by Russians for some time, but nobody in the West seems to be even clued in about the surveillance that has been taking place really since the 90s, but very much so since the mid-2000s. I should say, right, 2010, probably, after the failed Orange Revolution, but obviously after the Maidan Revolution there in 2014. So you want to start there, I take it. We could work our way backwards.
you know, the soil is rich and fertile tonight. Yeah. We can start anywhere you want, but let's start with our CIA and how they've not only been doing this, and unfortunately in the name of the American people, for decades. Now, I'm not speaking specifically Ukraine, the world, but it's how they went about doing it. And I honestly think after this news broke that this has a lot to do with why the deep state is so intent on continuing this war. Because if they don't, then it just gives Hootie Poot an even greater opportunity to discover more about what, you know, our spooks have been doing since they surreptitiously arrived in Ukraine probably 2 decades ago. And, you know, I made a joke about, you know, the bioweapons labs, but that is a serious thing. And I think there was a lot there that had the Russians gotten their hands, not on the actual materials, but all the notes and the communications and this, that, and the other thing. It would directly tie the government of the United States of America to evil works going on in a former Soviet republic.
No, it's not bio. And, it's not bioweapons, though. It's just bio research.
Right, right. But yet, that's why the bitch Victoria Nuland was so worried about them, meaning the Russians, getting to it, right?
Right.
So if it was just them trying to figure out how much phosphorus and how much nitrogen they need to put in the ground for them to grow even more wheat, I don't think, and we're talking that's how people like Victoria Nuland are trying to describe the need for these so-called labs in in Ukraine. Yep. If that's all it was, then why are we putting up such a fight right now?
Indeed.
It's the cover up state secrets.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Right.
And you know what? The old saying in politics is sunshine is the greatest disinfectant.
Yeah. Indeed.
And the best thing to do when you have an open sores, just rip the Band-Aid off. Let the sun get at it.
Yeah.
And we need to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they keep saying that, oh, it's not weaponized it's not weaponized bioengineering. It's you know, it's because it's not in a missile. But you don't need for a bioweapon, you could just release it. You don't need it to actually be in a missile or have it be weaponized. And so they
you don't need it. You don't need an ICBM in order to make Ebola any more dangerous than it is.
Right, exactly. Okay. So let's move on. Rona McDaniel is leaving on the 8th. My whole problem with this, Rona McDaniel, the RNC, and it seems like old turtle there in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, last time around had a problem funding MAGA Senate candidates, and now it seems to that he's stalling his what's going to be is I suppose his inevitable support and endorsement of Trump. But the New York Times is reporting that they're only talking about it. What's your take on this? Why are they talking? Why hasn't Mitch McConnell endorsed Trump already? Is my question.
Well, I have a completely different spin on this than the New York Swines. You want to know what it is? It's very simple. I almost called him Uncle Milty. That's a that's a terrible thing to say about Milton Berle.
Yeah.
Mitchie is probably dying to make the public announcement. And he's negotiating to get the opportunity when I honestly believe it's the Trump forces that are saying, you know what, old man, just shut up and sit the hell down. Your days are numbered. We don't need you. Right. And we don't need your endorsement. I don't think it's going to be that bad for him, but I think it's something along that line. Trump doesn't need the backstabber Mitch McConnell's endorsement. He's learned the hard way in his first term how having the endorsement of someone like Mitch McConnell doesn't really help him. Mitch McConnell doesn't have the support of people like me and you in the GOP. He's the one, and people who work for him in the senatorial reelection committee are the ones that get phone call responses from me saying, lose my number, you backstabbing bastard, and don't ever call me again.
Right.
He already knows that the grassroots don't give a damn about anything he says because of what he has done over two election cycles, 2022 being the most recent. And that's the reason why I think the negotiation, if anything, has to do with him resigning as party leader in the Senate in order for Trump to get the MAGA movement candidates properly funded come September. And I think, if anything, that's what he doesn't want. Mitch McConnell's. He doesn't care about Mitch McConnell's endorsement. In fact, I think it's the kiss of death to get it at this point.
Right. We don't know. We don't need any old establishment throwing or attaching themselves to the wagon, the MAGA wagon.
Right.
So Rona McDaniel is going to be out. It's going to be Lara Trump and that dude from, I think he's from Georgia, right?
North Carolina. Yeah, he was the head of the GOP.
Right. So that's going to help. And the mainstream media is already going nuts over that. But let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about Fannie or Fonnie. It's Fonnie Willis.
I think she's Funny Willis.
It is pretty funny. If you didn't,
she's Bruce Willis's black sister.
if you didn't see her Ebonics lesson when she took the stand, that was pretty funny. But I guess today, the best friend and former law partner of this guy, her boyfriend, testified, didn't help them much at all. And apparently Trump's team produced the subpoenaed phone records of the two of them, including location pings, which put Fonnie Willis and her boyfriend, I guess his name is Ward, together late at night into the early hours of the morning at the same address. And this is quite a few years.
Yeah, it was the downtown Hilton.
Yeah, before they said they were together. So that's going to, they're going to have to come clean, or they're going to, I think, going to face an ethics investigation by the state.
Well,
I think they're going to be taken off the case, maybe, but I think they might. But I think they're going to be facing more hot water.
We can only hope and pray that is true. And I'll tell you why. And I'm being serious when I say this. You know, Rudy Giuliani lost his license to practice law for far less than what these two were doing. And I've made this point on your show once before. When it comes to being an officer of the court, you are held, or at least you're supposed to be held, to a very high standard. It is the reason why when lawyers, and I'm not talking about contract attorneys, I'm talking about trial attorneys.
Right.
When lawyers who are married conduct themselves in torrid love affairs outside of their marriage vows, they, to say they are deeply admonished is putting it mildly, they are threatened with their ability to practice law, because what they do, I mean, it's only a civil matter. It's not criminal to cheat on your spouse, but it goes to damaging the institution of the Bar Association. because every lawyer, just like my better half, is an award-winning general contractor. And I love nothing more than to go after corrupt, dirty, or simply incompetent builders, because every prospective construction client looks at her the same way they look at all general contractors. You know what? You're all out to screw the little guy. You're out to take advantage of me, your client, because you're all dirty. It's the same thing for attorneys. When someone who is not just a trial attorney, but they are practicing law on behalf of the citizens of a huge, huge metropolitan area like Atlanta, that makes everything they do look dirty, including putting real criminals behind bars. And so whether or not this judge who's overseeing the hearing and Trump's case really does the right thing or not, I don't have a lot of confidence that much will come of it. And if he doesn't do the right thing and throw her and her good-for-nothing boyfriend under the bus for what they have done to the judicial system in Cobb County, Georgia, then there's very little the Bar Association of Atlanta have to do to fix this mess. And so the thing is, I already know you're dirty and corrupt, bitch. And because you don't have the wherewithal and the self-respect and dignity to step down, and I don't mean just from remove yourself from his office, because you don't have the self-respect to the right thing, I don't think, and it's not because she's a woman, and it's not because she's black, I just think it's because she's a Democrat, and the Democrats rule in Atlanta and the state government. I don't think anything's going to become of it other than what little has been made of it in the lame brain media. Right. And the only reason why this story even has legs, two reasons. Number one, the name Trump. And number two, because the alternative media won't let it die. Right. That's the only two reasons.
Yeah. Well, apparently the governor had some words for what is going on there. So something.
Yeah. Okay. Well, wait a second. Let's talk about Jeff Kemp. Okay. Jeff Kemp had the opportunity 4 years ago and 2 years ago to do the right thing in both elections. And he took the coward's way out. So empty words.
Yeah.
Empty words. Yeah. He is nothing more than a tool of the establishment GOP. He is not a Ron DeSantis.
Right, exactly. He's not on the MAGA train for sure, because we wouldn't be going through half of this if you're right, he did the right thing back in 2020.
Now, hear me out, because whatever few Democrats listen to your show and are listening to this live broadcast right now, haven't hung up their phones or switched channels, they're going to say, well, there's nothing he could do in those matters because that's up to the Secretary of State and the Registrar of Voters in Cobb County.
Right.
Yeah. Don't even try that with me, because the fact of the matter is he is the highest enforcer of law. He's not the highest law officer in the state of Georgia. That's what his attorney general is. But the attorney general and the secretary of state take their marching orders from the governor. And I guarantee you, if Jeff Kemp had done the right thing in 2020 and 2022, like Jeb Bush did in 2000, when they tried to steal the election from GW in the state of Florida. And remember, I'm going to remind your listeners, I was one of a handful of people in the state of Florida who was present the night of the election, recounting tabulated votes, not in Palm Beach County, not in Broward County, not in Miami-Dade County, but in my home county of Seminole County, Florida. That was the first recount. And I was going up against the head of the Democrat Party in Seminole County that night. Okay? Though that registrar of voters office got a phone call from Tallahassee, and he wanted, whether it was Jeb himself, whether it was the Secretary of State, or whether it was one of their toadies, whoever it was, made the phone call, and I was privy to but couldn't hear everything that the registrar of voters was saying to that person on the phone. But it had something to do with, we will have the counts to you, recounts to you momentarily, sir. That was what was said. I took it to mean that they were talking directly to Jeb Bush.
Right.
Now, that's what a governor does in the case of an election that's called into question. Okay? The reason why that recount was done was because Harry Jacobs, who was the head of the Democrat Party of Seminole County, who I was sitting right next to, demanded it be recounted because Seminole County at the time was 70% Republican. And there is no way in God's green earth, in those days, before there were Dominion voting machines, the vote should have ever been as close as it was. And he was entitled to have that recount.
Strike that. We're not saying Dominion voting machines.
Dominion voting machines.
Don't say it. They're going to come sue me.
Well, think of all the publicity you'll get, Rudy.
Yeah, right. I don't need that kind of hassle. Well, we're not on YouTube.
Hey, remember what Trump says.
Yeah.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, well, we don't need... I'm not on YouTube anyway, so no one's really listening. So moving on, I'm going to switch gears here. The Dems are flipping out. The mainstream media is flipping out because they can't seem to wrap their head around what Trump's popularity is all about. A decade in already?
Right.
We should know. And if you don't know anything about Trump's policies, maybe the mainstream media should look it up. But they're flipping out, and they can't take it. So they're really becoming quite unwound. And one of the great examples of this was after South Carolina, when Trump had 60% of the vote, and actually the turnout was extraordinary. And Trump actually got double the amount of the last record for a Republican primary. So he doubled that. So this was a historic win in South Carolina by Trump. But
No, it wasn't.
But they're still trying to say that Haley, there's a split in the GOP because Haley got 40%. Well, she lost by 20 points. And as I have to keep reminding people, and that they didn't report in the New York Times or anywhere else, that in the last three contests, the reason it wasn't matching up for the polling was for registered Republicans that were voting in the primary, not for registered Republicans and Democrats or unaffiliated, which is where the discrepancy from the polling, because the actual outcome should have been 75-25 or 70-30, and not 60-40 if you take out the Democrats and the unaffiliated. And that's basically the difference between what was polled and what came out in the election.
But Rudy, look, if the media were doing their job honestly, they're doing their job. Their job is not to report the news. Their job is to confuse people. They are all apparatchiks. They are all part of the Democrat machine. Hell, it's already been proven by the Annenberg School of Journalism, which is, by the way, no tool of the GOP and certainly no friend of Trump. Year after year after year, when I say the vast majority, well over 90% of all journalists polled say they are liberal to very liberal and donate to Democrat candidates. So they take their bias to their, I was almost I almost said typewriters, to their keyboards. And they have to spin the story because that is exactly what their, whether it's their senior producers or whether it's their editors, expect them to do. They're all part of the same communist family. Okay, so why are they going to report accurate facts? They're going to do exactly what they did. And I took some little limp dick Democrat to task on Twitter this morning, who made it a big deal of saying this is terrible news for the GOP. They are literally splitting at the seams. They are tearing themselves apart. Look, Trump only won by 60%. And I told him to put the crack pipe back. I literally typed that phrase, put the crack pipe down, because all he's looking at is what you just stated.
Man.
It was a contrived story, because if you look at the actual, and this is supposed to be a, and I'm using air quotes here, Republican primary. Well, if it was truly a Republican, air quote, primary, then the polls last night would have matched the polling leading up to last night. Or I'm sorry, Saturday.
Right. Forgive me.
Okay, it didn't, and the stories were written the way they were written on purpose, because they had no other story to write other than Trump kicked her ass.
Exactly.
In her own, wait a minute, in her own fucking state.
Yeah, right.
If that's not a bitch slap,
yeah.
If that's not pull the panties down and spank me, I don't know what the hell is.
Yeah.
Well, and then for her to have the audacity of claiming some sort of moral victory,
yeah.
It was, to me, I told you, if she did this, yeah. Her days as a viable candidate are over. They're over. And I think the only reason why she's staying in is because you have these 2 or 3 billionaire GOP contributors who are promising her big money as long as she forces Trump to continue to primary.
Right.
And all that does is destroy our chances of getting supermajorities in the House and Senate.
Right.
That's all this does. Yeah. So keep going down this road, Nikki. The only thing you're going to have at the end of the day is a big bank account to turn into nothing other than a PAC. And that's what this is all going to lead up to.
Well, it's a conspiracy between her campaign and the mainstream media and the Democrats that voted in these primaries to try to make Trump look worse than he did. And so she can get up there and claim a moral victory, because anything.
Well, wait a minute.
Anything to damper.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You said to make Trump look worse than he did. He didn't look bad. He looked magnanimous. He looked fantastic.
Right.
I was extraordinarily happy with the way he conducted himself and what his results turned out to be on Saturday night.
Right.
So all she did was attempt to drown out the fire that she is now being engulfed by.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, they had to have something to report on the mainstream media, because they weren't covering his victory speech, and they weren't saying it was a historical win. They had to make it look like, oh, the Republican Party is split. Oh, it's terrible for them. Come on.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, even as you and I speak, go pull every story that's been written about Trump since January 1st. I dare you, unless it comes from alternative news media, I dare you to find more than maybe 3 stories, and that's pushing it, that are positive. Everything the lame brain media says about Trump is negative. Yeah. Negative, negative, negative.
Yeah, for a decade already.
Right. Okay. So I don't expect anything else. And that's why people who are either of open mind, and by open mind, meaning they haven't decided whether or not they're going to vote one way or the other. Okay. And people who are right of center, let's forget about Reagan Republicans like me and Trumpians like you. Okay. Other than us, they're trying desperately to hold the Democrats together. That's what all these negative stories about Trump and all these ice cream licking stories about Uncle Joe are about.
Right.
They're not talking about how Uncle Joe can't parse together two sentences in an interview.
Yeah, and they're losing Michigan because of the war in Gaza. Because of the large Muslim communities there.
Correct.
They're voting for none of the above or undeclared or something like that in Michigan today.
Correct. Look, I don't even want to talk about that story, because that is a story worth discussing, but not tonight.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about how the media constantly tries to write a narrative, create a narrative that is nothing but negative when it comes to Republicans in general and Trump in specific. So, and you look no farther than how they try to say restrictions that we have been successful in placing, whether I agree with the level of restriction or not, okay? The restrictions that we have put in place in many states across the country, but not more than 25 to 27 states, the restrictions are somehow bans on abortion. This is how they spin their webs of deceit. Okay? Same thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about, and you and I have discussed the issue of abortion several times. I'm sure there'll be more times we'll discuss it. But the fact of the matter is, neither you or I, or anyone other than hard right, Bible thumping, born again Christians, want to see abortion banned on every level. There should not ever be an abortion except for the life of the mother. That's the only exception they will accept.
Right.
Okay. They don't make up the majority of the conservative movement. They make up a major part of it, but that is not enough for the Republican Party to ever take such an extreme level. Now compare that to Democrats in the New York State Assembly who not only congratulated themselves, but gave themselves a rousing standing ovation last year for passing no restrictions on abortion right up to the moment of birth. Okay? That, and yet that story was hardly covered at all in that way by the media, whether they were in New York or the national media. But yet Republicans trying to say, look, beyond the first trimester, you don't have the right to take a life.
Right.
Whether you think it's your decision or not, and somehow or other I'm the bad guy.
Yeah.
So they do the same thing with Trump, and that's why I had to stop you 5 minutes ago for saying what you said. I think it came out the wrong way when you said it.
Right. I didn't mean that he looked bad. I just meant that they're trying to make him look worse. I mean, they're trying to make him look worse because that his victory was so resounding. We got about 5 minutes that we kind of ate into our last subject here, which is the murder in Georgia of the co-ed Lake and Riley by an illegal immigrant, Jose Ibarra. And we know he's had a criminal past, but give me about 3 minutes, if you can, just a quick comment on another illegal, and as Trump pointed out, we have a new category of crime, migrant crime, which, and if you look into it, it's off the charts, and now we have a very high-profile murder. We don't know if it was a rape, but a disfigurement, many charges from this illegal immigrant who is out of Venezuela, and as Trump said, Venezuela emptied all their prisons and sent all those convicts out of the country into the United States.
Well, I have to correct not only you for misspeaking, but now I have to correct Donaldus Magnus for misspeaking. You need to stop using the term illegal immigrant, because he's not an illegal immigrant. He did not emigrate to this country. He illegally entered this country, which makes him an illegal alien. And we talked about this before.
Right.
We have to we have to get back the lexicon. Okay? We can't allow the media to continue to get away with this. So he's an illegal alien who invaded our country. He has a laundry list of crimes. He should have never made it to New York City. But when he did, he was able to gain all kinds of benefits that poor Americans aren't able to get because they were born in this country. Then after being given the keys to the Emerald City, shouldn't call New York City the Emerald City because it's a pigsty now. But anyway.
Rotten apple.
I digress. After being basically welcomed with open arms to the city of New York, he then commits all these crimes as part of a gang of thieves on mopeds. He gets arrested for, number one, you're in possession and operating a motor vehicle, which is what a moped is. It has a license plate on it, and it has a motor, has an engine. Okay, so you're here illegally. You're operating a motor vehicle illegally. You were caught in the commission of petty theft using, I'm sure, this illegally begotten motor vehicle. And the whole reason why you were in jail this time was because you had the child of your current wife, who is in the process of divorcing you. This woman who came with you and her child from Venezuela married you only for one reason, to hopefully expedite your cases so that you could gain asylum in this country. And now, after being caught, you were allowed, thank you, Alvin Bragg, for being able to walk out of jail without having to post bond, okay? And then you ran, walked, or flew down to Albany, Georgia, walked onto the campus, and brutally beat, for all we know, raped, and then murdered a 19-year-old co-ed girl. And I'm using the pronoun girl for a reason, because of how they described girls who were talked into one form or another of prostitution by way of Jeffrey Epstein. Those 17, 18, 19, and 14-year-old girls were called girls, but she is listed as not a 19-year-old teenager co-ed. She's listed as a woman, not even a young woman, in some of the newspaper accounts. Okay? This is how the media of this country behaves. Yeah. They would rather try and protect the non-rights of a non-citizen who invaded our country and took the life of an honest and sweet young American citizen. And now he doesn't have to face anything worse than being sent back to Venezuela, because that's pretty much what's going to end up happening to him.
Well, the AP story didn't even list him as an illegal alien or immigrant, right, or undocumented. So there was all over the news on Fox and all over conservative news, they were bashing that AP story for not even mentioning that. And the stories that I quoted on my podcast were stories from the New York Times, and they didn't mention it to the fourth or fifth paragraph, and is obviously not in the headline.
Right.
So last words on that, and I think we're going to cut it at, now that I have a timer here, 39 minutes.
Well, I think what should be done is somebody should get the permission of this young woman's parents and maybe create some kind of foundation in her name to take her picture and have it put on bumper stickers and sold around the country, saying something to the effect, this is what happens to our young people. This is what happens to Americans when lawbreakers are allowed to invade our country. Yeah. That's what we need like with Benghazi, you know, 15 years ago. Remember the Benghazi? I will never forget the Benghazi story. Yeah. Okay.
There's a great movie. There's a great movie on that called 18 Hours.
That's right, and I watched
it. Or 13 Hours, and, excuse me.
Yeah. Right. And so this has to be done. Her face, her name should not be forgotten. Right. And the next time that feeble old man takes the truth or dare walk out away from the White House, he should be faced with placard signs.
No.
Not again, Mr. President. Secure the border.
Right.
Finish the wall.
They should be doing that when he visits Brownsville, I believe, tomorrow. So I think we're going to end it there. Perry, thanks again for joining me. We covered a lot of topics in that short amount of time, and I wish we had more time, but I'm going to try to call it here at 40 or 41 minutes. So thanks for joining me, my friend, and I hope to talk to you soon.
I look forward to the next opportunity with bated breath.
All right, man. Talk to you next week.
Take care, buddy.
All right, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there goes Perry. Episode 71 of Tuesdays with Perry. Covered a lot there. Got in the Georgia murder by the illegal alien. We got Trump by the numbers in South Carolina. Fannie Willis. Mitch McConnell still hasn't endorsed Trump. Rona McDaniel, who's the chair of the RNC, is going to be out, I think, on Tuesday. No, the 8th. So March 8th. And CIA has been in Ukraine for over a decade. Why is that a surprise? It's not really a surprise. All right, thanks for joining us. Tuesdays with Perry, episode 71. Join me tomorrow for my daily podcast, Rudy's Revelation. And I'll see you tomorrow, or hope to see you next week. Peace out.